name is Barb Moody. Just joking. It's a total lie. It's Scott Marnie. I feel so blessed and privileged to read the scripture to you guys today, because the word speaks so much truth to me in my life, especially as of late, and kind of the way that I've typically handled things personally. So, just real quick, sorry, Andy. I was given an opportunity to volunteer to read last Thursday, and I'm so glad I said yes. There was something inside me that told me that I needed to say yes and just throw my hand up and volunteer. And I had no idea what the scripture readings were even going to be, but I think the point is God speaks to us when we step out in faith, and that's what I did, and the scriptures are speaking to me. So praise God for that. And if you don't normally do so, I encourage you to follow along with me in the pew Bibles. What I've found personally is that if I follow along and visually see the words that are being read to me, it kind of helps me retain them. I'm more of a visual learner, so I encourage you guys to do that. So the first reading is actually out of Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. It can be found on page 6 of the New Testament. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? What will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." And that's actually one of my favorite verses too, by the way. The second reading is out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and that can be found on page 198 in the New Testament. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for saying yes. Hannah and worship team, thank you so much for selecting the music and leading us in that today. That Will Reagan song is powerful, a powerful call to remember, and fits so well today. So let's go before the Lord in prayer, all right? Oh God, as we take a moment to remember who we are and who you are, we find you lifting our load again. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and continue coming and to inhabit the proclamation of the word, to speak through all the elements that have happened and are going to happen in our worship today. We invite you, Lord, to do a work of transformation that takes us deeper than we've yet gone, that you would help us to seek your kingdom first and to rejoice in your kingship over our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many of you find the scripture lessons today relevant for your life? Yeah. I get two hands up, okay? Yeah. Yeah, so it had been a long day. It had been a long week. It had been a long month. And so when I came to the end of this day, I was exhausted. I thought, boy, you know, you get to the end of some days and you feel like when my head hits that pillow, it's going to be lights out until the alarm goes off in the morning, if I can even awake to that, you know. And so when my head hit the pillow that night, I knew I'd be out like a light. But I wasn't. Instead, my mind reeled and rocked and went here and went there. And an hour later, I thought, who am I fooling? I've been closing my eyes, waiting to fall asleep for the last hour. But I'm bink, wide awake. Ever happened to you? And I thought, okay, so you kind of review the day and you go, okay, let's see, was it that quad shot Americano that I had at 5? I didn't have any espresso, you know, I didn't have any coffee since morning, you know, so it wasn't caffeine that was the culprit. It was worry. It was anxiety. We all know the feeling of worry and anxiety. Some of us know the feeling too well. And so it's encouraging that when we turn to the scriptures speak so directly into our lives. It's one of the things I really love about the Christian faith and the Holy Scriptures. They don't dodge reality. They face it square on, suffering, hardship, betrayal, worry, fear. It gives us not only, doesn't only just address it and say this is a reality, but it gives us tools for how we can deal with this common struggle in a way that is honoring to God, right? And so it's very refreshing. We live in stressful times. We live in times that are very fragmented there's so many different demands upon our lives that sometimes we feel like we'd almost have to be superhuman, you know, to get through some of the things that the load that can be on our plate sometimes, or the stress that we can feel. And Sunday mornings may provide the only avenue of relief for us. The only place in the week where we feel like, okay, and just let it out and rest in the presence of God and worship the Lord. But getting yourself and your family to church, especially if you have a family with young children, can be so stressful that by the time you get here, it's like you're in no frame of mind to enter into worship and rest in the Lord. Has that ever happened? Has that ever happened to you before? You know, as a parent, yeah. And then for others of us, Sunday is anything but a restful day. It's a work day, or you know, it could be that you don't work in the church, but you're a volunteer, and so coming to church on a Sunday morning can mean that you're tied up teaching Sunday school and doing this and doing that, and there's a lot going on. And then you may end up having a congregational meeting after the worship service like we did last week, and so it's kind of like, wait, this is the day of rest, the day of letting down, right? We've tried to make things easier. We've tried to make things in life more convenient with technology. And so we have all kinds of great technology, don't we? We have computers, we have iPads, we have smartphones, we have social media, and all these things have certainly connected us in some ways that have been really helpful. We're far more connected than we ever were before, but it's also succeeded in isolating people and leaving a lot of people feeling far more lonely than they ever did feel before, because the connection sometimes in social media is not, sometimes it's not a real connection, you know, and it's not a face-to-face connection. It's hard to get away. Hard to get away into solitude and into silence where we can really hear the voice of God. And so technology creates its own stresses, doesn't it? How many of you, I mean, last week, my email, my Facebook sent out a virus to everybody who's a friend on Facebook. And so if you clicked on that, it says, you know, it said like, Larry? ? And there was like this video. It was like, oh, click on that. It's from Andy. And it's like, you know, virus downloaded. And it's like, oh, great, you know? So that happened to me. And I had to change my password and go through all that rigmarole. And then like the next day, I try to log on to Facebook and I can't remember my password. How many passwords can you remember, right? I mean, it's like, you don't want to have the same password for everything. And so I've got like 8 passwords and it's kind of hard to keep track of it all. Rousseau was a man who said, man is born free, and yet everywhere is in chains. And it's true. God has given us freedom to make choices, but many of the choices that we make lead us into the prison of worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety. We want to think about those two words today. The Greek word for anxiety is merimnate, or I don't know if I was pronouncing that word, but sounds like merimnot, like don't marry him. Merimnate is the Greek word for anxiety. It means to be pulled in different directions. It means to vacillate between hope on the one hand and fear on the other hand. Anxiety. To be pulled in different directions, to vacillate between hope and worry, or hope and fear. Our hopes pull us in one direction, our fears pull us in another direction, and we feel pulled apart. We know the experience. The old English root from which we get the word worry means to strangle. When you're worried, you're being choked, right? So you know that experience. In fact, worry has definite physical consequences. Headaches, neck pains, back pain, ulcers. It even affects our thinking, it affects our digestion, it affects our coordination. To be pulled apart and strangled. Who needs that? And that is certainly not the place where we as children of God, who are not given a spirit of fear, need to be, right? From a spiritual point of view, worry is wrong thinking. It's an issue of the mind. And it's wrong feeling. It's an issue of the heart, the emotions, about circumstances, people, and things. Worry is the greatest thief to honest, heartfelt joy in the Lord. And if we're to learn to rejoice in the Lord, as Paul has been calling us to do all through this letter to the Philippians, then we need first to learn how to deal with worry and anxiety in a biblical way. It isn't enough for us to just say to ourselves, quit worrying. Right? Or to sing that little song, don't worry, be happy. That doesn't really work, does it? You know? All the positive thinking in the world doesn't settle the problem of worry and anxiety. For most, anxiety is not just, for some, anxiety is an actual hormonal or chemical imbalance in our bodies. You know, so the issue of anxiety from a chemical standpoint, is way higher today than it has been in all the time they've known. You know, and it may be because we know more about anxiety, but there's a lot of people that take anti-anxiety medications and that need it because of chemical imbalance. but for most of us. Anxiety and worry can be beat internally and spiritually, and they become an issue that can be a spiritual issue. Winning the battle with worry is, we could say from a biblical point of view, is an inside job, and it takes more than good intentions and positive thinking to overcome worry. If we're to overcome worry and begin to experience the God of peace and the peace of God, we're going to have to at least develop a secure, God-filled mindset and heart set. What we give our hearts to, if we can build this God-filled mindset and heart set, the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, an inside job is something that really only God can do, right? We can come, we have a role in this, so we come and we surrender, we yield our issues to God. That's one of the things I was trying to do with the kids in the baptismal font, is like, if we could tangibly name the fear and anxiety that affects us, and we can tangibly, you know, use our imaginations and bring these things to God and hand them over to God and practice doing that, we'll be a long ways in getting free from those things. Jesus spoke about worry and compared worry to unbelief. Unbelief and distrust in God. In our passage from Matthew chapter 6, 25 and following, Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to put on and what you're going to eat and where you're going to go. Those who don't know the Lord give themselves to such things. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? That's a great question. And yet many of us live our lives as though the material world is everything. And we can obsess and worry about all these things material. But Jesus says, don't worry about your life. God knows what you need. Instead, seek God's kingdom. Seek His rule over your life, His care. And don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring enough worries of its own. Today has enough trouble of its own. Live your life in honor of me. Live your life to honor me today and trust that I will give you grace to deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. That's a good reminder for us. These words from Jesus provide a great foundation for our passage on Philippians chapter 4. Paul was right in seeing anxiety and worry as very debilitating. We know that they can be very debilitating for us. They can get us caught up and conflicted in relationships, in our relationships certainly with God, but in our relationships with one another. Paul also saw them as conquerable. He's telling us that the good news of Jesus Christ, of God with us, of Emmanuel, stands over and against our worries and our anxiety as a defiant, nevertheless, God. Okay, so as a result, we can say, I have some real stresses in my life, perhaps, and I don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week. Nevertheless, God. Take a moment to remember who you are and who God is. Like the song just said, nevertheless, God. Nevertheless, God, and therefore I will rejoice because God is with me. So let's read aloud Paul's words in Philippians 4, 4 to 7 and discover together how we can win the battle over worry. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Joy is a primary theme of this letter. And Paul is saying, rejoy. It's like your computer starts acting up. Sometimes you got to turn it off and reboot the computer. Well, so it is in the spiritual life. When we get off track with joy and we get into worry and anxiety, we need to rejoy. We return to the source of joy again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say it, rejoice.
Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near. He's near. We need to remember that the Philippians, like us, had many potential joy robbers in their lives. As we've seen so far in this letter, there was disunity within the church in Philippi. There was also false teaching in the church that was coming and bringing stress into the body of Christ. In addition to that, there was persecution from the outside. Paul has just mentioned two people, right, in the verses before this, Euodia and Syntyche, who are in conflict with each other. And Paul is naming this stuff, and he is saying, return to the source of joy again. And Paul is writing them from prison, facing the possibility of his own execution. Rejoice in the Lord and do not be anxious. I love it. It's not as though he's writing from some lounge somewhere, but he's writing from the nitty-gritty hard stuff of life. What are the joy robbers in your life today? What are the things in your life that create are creating anxiety and worry and would suck your faith away and suck your experience of the presence of God away? Maybe there's financial pressure or job pressures in your life. Maybe your worries come from your family or they come from your marriage. Where is it? You might be facing personal struggles, health issues, challenges at school, challenges with friends or at home. Is there some cause for anxiety and worry in your life today? Paul's counsel is this: to live your life in God's joy, in the middle of it. In the middle of it. Don't deny it, but go to him and receive joy. Return to the source of joy. Some of you are saying, yeah, right. You don't know what I'm experiencing. You don't know what it's like in my home. You don't know what it's like in my life. And I don't. And some of you are grieving deep losses. Some are facing uncertain futures, I'm sure. Some of you are stressed with illness and loneliness and lack. And you're wondering where the help is going to come from. And I don't know exactly what you're facing, but I know in my own life some of the things I face. Real things. I've also learned that God is a refuge for the weary, that he is greater than the greatest problems that we can face, that he is greater than the enemy who comes to lie, steal, and destroy. I've also learned that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. And if you press into him and you seek him, he will meet you and he will reward you. Know today that God is good. Remember who God is. Know today that God is with you. Know today that God is a provider for you. He cares about you. And Paul's counsel has been to seek the Lord. He said just in the chapter before this, I want to know Christ and the power above all else. I want to know him, and I want you to imitate me in pressing in to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Draw close to the source of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And it's not just a feeling. It's a decision that is made. It is an action that is done. It's what worship is all about, isn't it? When we worship, we are going to joy. We are going to the source. We are going to the water of life. We are declaring God's praises. We are adoring God. In spite of what's happening in our lives, we are saying, I choose to worship the Lord today. Paul says, live your life in God's joy and be gentle. Let your gentleness be known to all. In other words, let your non-controlling, non-anxious awareness of God's presence and faithfulness and goodness be evident to others in your life. The Lord is near. God is here, and Christ is coming again. His victory is sure. Trust him. Do you know that you can live confidently in joy today because God has gone ahead of you into tomorrow? That's a sure promise. So don't worry about anything, but instead, in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't fret or worry as Eugene Peterson says in the Message. Instead, turn your worries into prayers. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. It's easy to get caught up in the circle of anxious, fearful worry, isn't it? One thing pulls you this way, another thing pulls you that way, and you feel pulled apart. You feel strangled by it. How does one get out of that choking circle of anxiety? Paul couldn't be clearer. He says, break free through prayer. And you might say, prayer? Yeah, right. Yes, prayer. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. What really is prayer anyway? Prayer is being present to God's presence. It is living in the awareness that He has never left you. It is keeping an eye on Him and knowing that He is right there in whatever you are facing. Be present to His presence. That is what prayer is all about. Instead of getting your focus on the problems and on your lack, instead of getting wrapped up in worry, be present to His presence. Pray. Paul is not inviting us into some powerless, trivial exercise. He's inviting us into the high courts of praise and adoration with the angelic beings. Not only that, but God is inviting us into spiritual wrestling rinks here, in prayer, the battle zone, where great, huge, monumental spiritual issues are dealt with. That is what happens in prayer. I like this quote from Oswald Chambers. "The prayer of the feeblest saint on earth who lives in the Spirit of God and keeps right with God is a terror to Satan. The very powers of darkness are paralyzed by prayer. No wonder Satan tries to keep our minds fuzzy and active work until we cannot think in prayer." In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about how suffering and struggle can enter our lives and we groan in pain and agony. We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, but as we become present to God's presence, even though the words don't come, we're wrestling in agony, and yet it's precisely in the wrestling that we break through, or God breaks through, and the Spirit of God begins to pray in us and through us with groans too deep for words. Prayer is the realm where battles are fought for our souls. Prayerlessness, by the way, is resignation to worry and fate. But prayer is the realm where battles are fought for our souls. Those battles are many. They are battles fought on the soil of our loyalties and our allegiances. Battles over where and to whom we will devote our time, our energy, our financial resources. Battles over letting go of my rights to be bitter and to hold a grudge. Battles over my right to be addicted, my right to do as I please, my right to, and just put in there whatever. You fill in the blank. These are the areas where I suspect we are most often filled with anxiety. My right, my want, my desire to be in control. Intercessory prayer is not about praying some long list to God. I feel like my prayer life in the past was negatively affected by the idea that intercessory prayer was writing out my long list and then reading it to God as if God doesn't know all of these things. Guess what? God knows. He knows. And so intercessory prayer is about being present to God in the middle of all the needs, about like bringing the need before God and just naming it. Inviting the Lord into all the need. Finally, so we've seen that the three things to win the battle over worry is to rejoice in the Lord, knowing His presence, know who you are and know who He is. Secondly, we pray. We turn our worries into prayer. And thirdly, we think about the good and the beautiful. The way we win the battle over worry is by focusing our thinking on all that is good. So let's read that passage from 4:8 today. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Think about that. So many times, what we think about is what is despicable. What we think about is what we're bitter about. What we think about is what is dishonoring. But Paul is saying, reshape your thinking. Get off of stinking thinking and get on to right and beautiful thinking. Okay? What is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is pleasing, what is commendable. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things, and the God of peace will be what? With you. In other words, you'll know the God of peace. He is with you. But a lot of times, our focus is completely off of God. Paul is telling us that when we learn to live with God and relate to God in the depths and the nitty-gritty of our lives, God meets us there. He comes to us with his joy. He comes to us with his peace. This peace, Paul says, is a peace that is incomprehensible. It is a peace the world does not know. It can't know because it comes from a relationship with the living God. It is a peace that comes by the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter. This peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will stand guard like a soldier over your heart and over your mind in Christ Jesus. And I like that image. I like that image of a great warrior standing before me with a shield up and a sword drawn and saying, I'm standing guard over this guy's heart and over this guy's mind because he is a child of God. Jesus, the victor, has won this war. And so I stand guard over his heart and mind. Well, so how do we get the soldier to stand guard over our hearts and minds? Just review it. We rejoice in the Lord. We return to the source and the giver of true joy. We pray. We turn our worries into prayers, recognizing that prayer is battle and prayer is being aware of God's presence with us and knowing that he is good. And thirdly, we think on that which is good and beautiful. Focus there. If we do that, and I think Paul is dead on right, we will win the battle over worry in our lives. And we'll know more joy. It's a win-win. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that gives us very practical help, counsel. Forgive us for getting off track in our thinking and in our acting. And help us to walk in the joy and peace that comes through a relationship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.